Welcome to the Scuffed Podcast. I'm Adam Bells in Minneapolis. With me is Greg Velasquez in Des Moines. We talk about U.S. men's soccer. Three games in the books for the U.S. U-17s at the CONCACAF Championship down in Bradenton and three wins, but not all wins are created equal. Joining the pod today is the hero of U.S. Men's Soccer Twitter, at USMNT Videos. He has anonymously transformed the landscape of USMNT fandom. I don't think that's an exaggeration. Makes it far easier to develop educated opinions about the player pool with his highlight reels and all touches videos, which should be familiar to many of you. Let me just say these things are a lot of work, and he deserves our gratitude. And crucially for our purposes today, the homie watches a lot of soccer, including the U-17s over the past 5 days. So here we are. Welcome to the pod, man. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm really excited to be on the pod today and recap the U-17s group stages.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Before we jump in, let me just give a couple of my classic disclaimers. First of all, these players we're going to talk about are still developing. Some of them will get better as soon as, like, next week. So everything is evolving, sometimes very quickly. Also, we recognize, don't we, that the U-17 age group is not going to be the next cycle's U-20 team. And, you know, the senior national team is even further away. You more or less agree with those things?
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to get too ahead here, but I think we were a little spoiled by the U-20s qualifying. I mean, they looked really good, and U-17s weren't as good as that. So I think we have to, you know, look at it, not come to too many conclusions here, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But I think we should also remember, I don't know if you have the same memory of it, but the U-20s, they were getting these huge results, like beating minnows by 7 goals or 8 goals, but they didn't look so great right at the beginning of the tournament.
Yeah, they really turned on. I guess after the knockout stages started, you know, it's when they looked, you know, a lot better.
Yeah, with the addition of Serginho Dest helped a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping we're going to see sort of the same trajectory with this tournament. And I think we're starting to see that, wouldn't you say?
I think Wiki, like, he started to, you know, maybe find his best lineups, like putting Reyna out on the wing, maybe getting Gray at center back. You know, he's starting to find what works best for the team rather than what we had at the beginning where, you know, maybe like Reyna in the middle, that clearly wasn't the best option for him as like for his skill set. So I think as we're moving on in this tournament, he's learning as he goes because he's only been here for what, like 2-3 months now. So
yeah,
his understanding and like his familiarity with these players is pretty limited too.
Yeah, it seems like a learning process for everybody. And so let's think of it like that. But let's start with the first game. A 3-2 win over Canada. Why don't you give us the lineup for that match from the U.S. side?
All right, so the lineup for the U.S. was Damian Lawson goal, and then back line was Armour, Kobe, Alejandre, and Scally. And then in the middle, there was a double pivot with Leyva and Kayo, with Reyna ahead of them. And Busio was on the left wing, and Yao was on the right wing, and then Pepe was up top as striker.
Yeah, this was pretty brutal to watch in the first half, right? I mean, what were you able to diagnose what you thought the problems were? Because I think we would agree it was trash. It was a garbage half of soccer.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible to watch. It seemed like our plan was kind of to send balls, like just send hopeful long balls through to Pepe. Maybe he'll get a flick on. I mean, Reyna was over dribbling, just killing any kind of attack we could have. Busio, I saw him lose the ball 4 or 5 times at least, he just couldn't hang on to it.
Yeah, egregious giveaways. Egregious.
Yeah, they were bad. But I thought after like that, I don't know, like that 60-second blitz that Canada had, I thought for the rest of the half, I mean, we still looked pretty bad. But then in the second half, we started to look a little bit better. The ball seemed to be moving a little bit quicker, and obviously we got the 3 goals needed for the win, which was pretty important for to ensure that we could pick up the win in the group. So, I mean, it was good to see the resilience to pick up these 3 points, even despite the terrible start.
I agree. No great soccer to celebrate. Even in the second half, we were hardly Barcelona or 2019 Ajax. But yeah, I agree. It says something positive about Wiki's effect in the locker room that we could settle things down at halftime.
Yeah.
I'll run through the goals here just because it gives people who maybe didn't watch the games a sense of what happened. The first goal came on a ball from deep on Canada's right side, picked out Jeremy Omeyanga, who was pretty dangerous in that first half. He came back to the ball between the lines, knocked it down with his chest for Jason Russell Rowe, who picked out Matthew Catavolo, the sort of playmaker for Canada on the left wing. Interestingly, Catavolo had peeled off from his marker Joe Scally and had just like a ton of space to line up a left-footed cross that he hit well onto Omeyanga's head on the back post. Tidy finish, 1-0 Canada. I don't want to get too deep in the minutia. I'm sure you don't either. But like, yeah. But we got to assess these fullbacks in this play, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty. I don't know like what Scally was really doing. Like he seemed to be in no man's land. Like he was trying to drift inside, but his mark was going outside. So he had like his mark had plenty of time to send in the cross. And then Armour, his guy kind of made a run from the box to the back post, and it just seemed like Armour just wasn't paying attention until the ball was sent in, and by that time, he didn't have enough time to like get back. So it was a pretty simple finish at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a nice ball and a, you know, solid finish. Second goal came immediately after kickoff. A poor giveaway from Danny Leyva, bless his soul, a favorite of the pod. But this was a black mark on his performance. He gave the ball away in the center circle, and there was a counterattack with Scally caught way upfield. I don't know what was going on there. Catavolo again dribbled upfield and fed Russell Rowe, who was involved in the first goal, and Russell Rowe curled a pretty much unstoppable shot far post from the left channel. 2-0 Canada. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't really have much to add to that, but I mean, I've just been thinking Scally, like he has like a terrible play, like two or three terrible plays every single game, and I'm not sure if it's something to be terribly worried about in his development, because, but they are like, I remember in the Nike friendlies, I can't remember what happened, but like a guy like went past him against in the Portugal game, maybe he Scally got completely burned.
Yes.
Yeah. And it seems like he has like those moments of just, he doesn't know what he's doing. Like he just switches off and it seems to cost the U17s greatly a lot. So I mean, I'm not sure if that's something to be too worried about at this point, but it's been pretty apparent lately, especially.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, I guess we can just jump ahead to the end of the game. He also got a yellow card for a late challenge on, who was it, Jaden Nelson, the really dangerous.
Yeah, Nelson's a good one.
Yeah, he's a good player. He had his way with Scally, which maybe that's no great shame in that. He's a really dangerous winger. But Scally fouled him, got a yellow card, like deep in stoppage time, right on the edge of the box, setting up a free kick that could have equalized it. So not a great game from Scally, and not really from Armour either, I don't think.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
We'll go on to the second half and the sort of more cheerful stuff. Credit to the boys and to Wiki. They came out and found a way to win. Here's how it happened. In the 49th minute, we got our opening goal. Hardly a thing of beauty, but Reyna sort of found himself triple teamed on the right wing. I think it was right after a set piece. Is that right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was after a set piece.
Okay. Tried to beat
it. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. It was a corner, and it just – was it a short corner to Reyna or –
I think it was sent in, and then maybe it was cleared away to Reyna, and Reyna took the corner, so he was just there, and then they closed down on him, and that's when he, you know, made the move.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't you describe what happened from there?
Yeah. So when he found himself, so there was like three Canadian defenders on him, and then I think at first he lost, like he couldn't beat them, and the ball kind of bounced back to him, and then he beat them down to the end line. Then he sent in a cross. It was just kind of, just seemed like it just looped up there without really any target in mind. But Busio was unmarked and he met the volley really cleanly. It was a very good strike. Yeah. And, you know, and then it was 2-1 at that point for the U.S. or excuse me, for Canada.
Yeah, 2-1 Canada, but we were back in the game. I feel like the play, even though it ended well, sort of illustrated one of the big problems with the game, which you alluded to. It was a lot of just like Reyna with the ball at his feet and everybody else watching him. If you go back and look at the clip of that, there are like six Americans just sort of standing in the box waiting for Reyna to do something. I don't know where that comes from or why it's like that, but it's not ideal.
Yeah.
The other thing I guess I'll say, even in the second half, that we struggled with was creating any sort of danger from the wing. Now Griffin Yao has grown into the tournament. I think he put on his best performance last night in the win over Guatemala, but he's struggled to produce consistent danger in those first two games. And Busio, I don't see him ever getting to the end line and pulling across back.
See, for me, Busio, like, he scores goals, so you, like, I rate him somewhat, but I feel like he just adds nothing in, like, just like the run of play, like even in his MLS games.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still 16, but I haven't really seen anything too encouraging there. It seems like he loses the ball a lot. He's not really able to create much, but he does score goals. I mean, a lot at this point for a 16-year-old, which is, I mean, it's a pretty good score rate. So
that's what the game is about, is scoring goals. But
yeah,
maybe he's just a poacher, but I'm not sure where he fits in, even on this side, to be honest.
Yeah.
63rd minute, the U.S. earned plenty of corners and finally got something out of one. Reyna's looping corner was knotted backward by Leyva near the top of the box, and it bounced away to Kobe, who got every bit of it with a laser beam strike. Did you see? I'm sure you saw that.
Yeah, I saw that for sure. It was a crazy hit.
Thing of beauty. Ricocheted off two defenders and then fell to Axel Alejandre, the center back, who roofed it for the equalizer. I thought it was a pretty nice strike for a center back. And then, so now it's 2-2, and then we got our winner from Reyna on a free kick just outside the 18-yard line. He did draw a lot of fouls in the game, so you got to give him credit for that. And this was one of them, and he lined up to take it himself. We did this sort of like three teammates scattering in front of him and the goalie thing. We did it again in the next game, and he hit a low dipping shot far post for the game winner.
I'm not sure if you saw, but did you see in the Guatemala game, I think it was the first half, Guatemala actually ran the same set piece again, where they sent the three guys into the wall. It was like Loss made a good save on it. It was in the first like 20 minutes. They did the same, pretty much the same thing to us. I just wasn't sure if you saw it.
I didn't see that they did the same like run at the wall thing.
Yeah, they had two that just went at the wall. Yeah.
It's catching fire, man.
Yeah.
One of my friends was messing with me. He goes, did you know Rafael Wiki is a aerodynamic engineering, has a master's in aerodynamic engineering, and the reason they do that is to break up the air so the ball travels more quickly. And I was like, oh man, that's cool. I never thought of that. Two seconds later, I was like, no. Anyway, not an encouraging performance, but we got the win. Anything else to say about it, do you think?
Yeah, so just on a side note, I mean, I had read some things on like Twitter that said this Canada team was pretty good. So just out of curiosity, I checked their DA standings. So Toronto is second in their division. Vancouver is also second. They play in separate divisions.
Right.
Vancouver is also second in their division. And Montreal is actually first in their division. And this Canada team, like, it was filled with players from these DA teams. So this performance may not have been the greatest performance, but it's not like we were playing like a terrible team. Canada is a legitimately good team, and they're filled with talent. So I think this result, in my eyes at least, it changes a little bit when I realized how much talent's actually on Canada's team.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I think there's some disagreement about that out there in the soccer bubble. Like, some people are saying, well, this is a really bad Canada team. I agree with you. I thought they were pretty good. And then they had some good guys on the bench too.
Such as
Nelson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next game, 2 days later, 6-1 win over Barbados. I'll give the lineup. There's a lot of rotation here. Chitiru Odunze was in goal. John Tolkien from the Red Bulls was in for Armour at left back. Kobe remained at left center back, and then Tavon Gray made sort of his maiden voyage as a center back for the youth national teams. And then we had Scally at right back again. Leyva in the midfield with Adam Saldana and Gilbert Fuentes. And then Bussi on the left wing again. Jack DeVries gave Griffin Yao a break on the right wing, and Alfonso Ocampo-Chavez was up top. What did you make of this? What are your opening thoughts on this one?
So at first, I mean, I saw the lineup, and I was pretty happy to see Gray at center back because, I mean, he did look pretty good in the Nike friendlies in his more defensive midfield role, I guess. Mm-hmm. And playing him at center back, it opens up the potential to play Kobe at left back, which is his natural position.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, we still had trouble from open play. I can really remember, like in the first half at least, one clear-cut chance, which was when Ocampo-Chavez, I think, beat his man to the end line and sent it across for Gilbert Fuentes for, I mean, he probably should have finished that.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I think what, we scored four goals from set pieces in the first half, like all four goals, I think, from set pieces in the first half.
Yep.
And so in the first half, I saw a lot of circulating the ball through the back line, like between Gray and Kobe and Scally, to try to open up the spaces for Kobe to hit line-splitting passes or diagonal. And, I mean, I thought he did really well to connect on this pass. He's a great passer. And he was involved in three of the goals for this game. I mean, like, not directly involved for some of them, but I'm just thinking about the amount of, like, quality left-backs that we have for the cycle. I mean, Bello's not even here.
Yeah.
Jonathan Gomez is, I'm not sure if many people know about him, but I rate him. And obviously Armour and Tolkien, they can do a job if needed. So
yeah, left back is stronger than right back in this age group,
for sure.
which is a strange thing to say. Yeah, I don't know that we need to go through all the goals in as much detail, but I guess I'll do it quickly. The first one came on a Kobe free kick from the right side, showed off his quality. I don't think that goal goes in against most pro keepers, but you know, he placed it well. 26 minute, Bussi hits an unstoppable free kick. This is one where I can't say anything bad about Bussi on that moment. And then Bussi crossed into the area on a short corner, and it deflected out to Saldana, who hit sort of a deflected shot into the goal. And then the 45th minute, a little scripted sequence on a free kick for Bussi to hit one low through traffic. The assist went to Fuentes, but it was, you know, just a sort of simple layoff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I couldn't tell if it was deflected or not, but the goalkeeper did get a hand on it, just couldn't palm it away. Then there was an own goal on a Jack DeVries cross. That was pretty atrocious from the Barbados defender. It was one of the best finishes I've seen all tournament. And then we got our first legitimate goal from the run of play in the second half on a good ball over the top from Kobe. You mentioned his distribution. Mm-hmm. And Ocampo-Chavez took a nice first touch and then slotted it past the keeper. It was a goal everyone involved should be proud of.
Yeah.
We didn't score again. No problem. Bussi and Leyva got some rest in the second half. Barbados did score on a penalty. The reason I'll mention it is because Joe Scally, came on a Joe Scally handball. Not even sure if it was a handball, but he got called for it. And here we are with another example of Scally costing the team a goal. Don't want to be too hard on the kid, but it does seem to be a little bit of a theme there.
Yeah. And I don't want to act like Joe Scally, he's still like a top prospect for his age group, but like he's really good going forward. He's super athletic. He can, I think, as we saw in the first half of the Canada game, he can beat like a defender and bring the ball, carry the ball forward. It's just these few moments in every game, which seems like nothing should really come out of it, but a goal is conceded. These moments are something that really can't happen, especially at the next level if he switches off like this. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's still a top prospect at the end of the day. I just wanted to focus on that for a second.
Maybe, you know, something we've talked about on this podcast before is maybe he ultimately ends up as a center back. You know, he's got the height for it. He may not have the quickness, you know, to stay in front of a really dangerous winger as a fullback. Yeah. Who can say?
These kids, do you know, that. Have you seen anything about his passing? Like, on the wing, I can't really see him, you know, like, attempting many, like, line-splitting passes or anything. I just wasn't sure if you had seen anything, like, any games with his passing.
I've never, you know, I've probably watched about as much Scally as you have. I've never been, like, overly impressed with his passing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it as, like, a big weakness either. I think if you can, you know, if you can find a pass from right back, you can probably distribute from center back pretty well. But I don't know.
Yeah.
My only other thought on this game was Tolkien at left back, I thought was an improvement over Armour. Just a little bit more comfortable on the ball, a little bit less lost out there in possession. Maybe not, I mean, clearly not as good of an athlete. Armour is a top-level athlete and is able to cover a lot of ground. But just on the ball, I thought Tolkien added something.
And also, Tyler Freeman, I think he subbed in for Busio maybe. I thought he looked pretty good in this game too. Like just a little bit of a prelude to the Guatemala game. He did well, you know, to get out of tight spaces. I think he drew a nice foul on a turn. Like he turned the defender just outside the box. So I think Freeman was also a positive, at least from the subs. So I just wanted to get that in.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good shout. He surprised me because I always thought of him as a striker, like a true number nine. He's got the kind of the frame for that, but he's played mostly as an attacking midfielder in this tournament and looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think in USL and GA Cup, he's been playing a lot on the wing for Sporting KC. And, I mean, he reminds me a lot of Gio Reyna when I watch those games, to be honest. Like, he seems to have, like, the same running style when he gets a stride and seems like he just glides past defenders like Reyna can. So, I mean, maybe I just compared him to a poor man's, you know, Gio Reyna. That's how I see him, at least right now.
That's interesting you say that, because I was noticing last night when I was rewatching the game that I had to look at the length of their hair to tell the difference between the two of them.
Yeah, yeah, they're pretty similar.
Reyna's got that military style buzz cut now, and Freeman's got like a Beatles haircut.
Yeah, they're pretty different. I mean, Reyna used to have long hair though, or not long, but it's a new look for him, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he looks more menacing. He looks scarier now. Yeah. At least in my opinion, not an appreciable difference in the performances between the Canada match and the Barbados match in terms of us putting together flowing attacks and possessing the ball. Did you see any improvement there? Or?
I think I'll have to agree with you on this one. I think the circulation might have been a little better, especially because in this game, it seemed like we were able to, you know, use Kobe as an outlet to start attacks. And I thought Gray, I think his passing is better. Not that much better, but I think it's a little bit better than Alejandre's, at least. So I thought he was able to, you know, get the ball out to the wings or the right back a little bit easier. So that just, it made it easier to, you know, build up than the game against Canada. That's at least what I saw.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's fair. And Gray, I don't know how tall that kid's going to be, but if he can get up to like 6'1", 6'2", he's going to be a great center back prospect.
Yeah. I'm not sure if does he play like defensive midfield for NYCFC? Like, where does he play academy wise?
I thought he always played defensive midfield, but I haven't watched any NYCFC academy games this season.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting to see, like, where he ends up.
Yeah. He does have a nice – you can see he's a midfielder because he has a nice ability to just, like, step by a pressing number nine and do it with absolute confidence. And then, you know, he's eliminated that guy and he has sort of room to operate. It's a nice thing to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. The Guatemala game. Why don't you give the lineup?
So the lineup for this game was Loss was back in goal. And then the back line was Armour, Gray, and Alejandre at center backs. And then Mauricio Cuevas was at right back. I think it's the first time we'd seen him all tournament.
He played in a defensive midfield for a little while. Yeah.
And then in the midfield, Saldana and KO were in. It was kind of a double pivot, but KO seemed to be.
Yeah, KO was roaming a little bit more, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's actually an interesting, an important point, because Saldana really was a like a true sit back and defend the back line number six.
Yeah, and then KO would. While we're on KO, I actually liked, maybe not as much in the Canada game, but I said it. I thought he was pretty good at, you know, beating one man and then progressing the ball forward. His final ball after that was pretty bad after that, but I think in the Guatemala game we saw it again. He could, you know, take the ball away from a Guatemalan player, and then he could start counterattacks pretty quickly with his just sheer power while dribbling with the ball. I really liked that about his game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then we had Tyler Freeman, who was playing like in the middle of the park as a 10 almost.
Yep.
And then on the left wing, we had Reyna out there with Yao on the right wing and Pepe up top.
This worked, man. I think putting Reyna on the wing, which is something I've been talking about for several months, to be honest.
Yeah.
It worked so well, I'm almost embarrassed at how right I was.
yeah, it looked really good.
He's unstoppable. He's unstoppable on the wing. And I don't know if there is a U-17 international right back who can like square up with him and not get beat.
Well, while we're on that, do you worry at all about how Reyna and Yao seem to, I don't, like, they seem to maybe not get Pepe as involved in the game as they should? Like, it seems like Reyna and Yao's main strategy was to beat a guy, go down the wing, and cross it in for Pepe. But I think Pepe's skill set, it's probably best when he can be actively engaged in, like, the build-up, you know, holding up the play well and starting attacks himself, too. It seems like he was kind of resigned to just stretching the defense and trying to get on crosses in this game. Do you ever worry about maybe neutralizing Pepe's best abilities with this?
Yeah, I do worry about it. I love the way Pepe plays in the build-up when he can get involved, and he has not been able to get involved, really.
Yeah.
When he does get on the ball, he hasn't looked as sharp as I would have expected. So it's not all on everybody else, I think.
Yeah, he has. He's been sloppy, too.
Yeah. Not terrible, but not as sharp as I think he'd like to be. I don't know what the problem is there. Maybe they're trying to shoehorn him into like a Jazzy's artist role to
I hope not.
To mirror the senior team, you know. I don't know, but it's concerning to me that Pepe has not found more chemistry with his teammates.
Yeah, but even though like he's really struggling to get on the ball, I really appreciate his like work rate tracking back. I mean, I'd see him in the midfield at some points, just hounding the midfielders for the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's a pretty good skill set to have when you can't get in the game to try to influence it in another way than, you know, what your preferred skill set is.
Absolutely. Yeah, that kid works his ass off, and
yeah,
that's one of my favorite things about him. And he had a couple nice moments in the second half. Like, he had this point where he stepped on the ball in the center circle and pulled it back and then to get himself out of a little jam, and then he played,
yeah.
I think he played Reyna in down the wing.
Yeah, I remember that. Didn't he have a pretty good shot? I don't remember if it was the first half or the second half, but he had a pretty good shot in the first half that I think the Guatemalan keeper saved pretty easily, though. But he had his moments, but I think it's not even close to what the best that Pepe could do.
Yeah, I think if he just needs to score a goal, put a smile on his face, and put the group stage behind him, and I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's go through the goals. 25th minute was the opener from Griffin Yao. Another set piece. Clearance falls to Cuevas, who I think quietly had a nice, steady performance at right back. Nothing eye-popping, but he was solid. Cuevas tapped it over the back line to Yao, who took a really quality first touch, used his body to earn himself a little more space, and fired in low and hard off the far post. 1-0 USA. I've been doing all these goal recaps. Why don't you do the second and third goals? They're both pretty nice.
All right. And then in the 51st minute, Yao got his second goal of the game. There was some decisive ball movement, which isolated Reyna on the left wing. are more overlapped, and then Reyna was able to, you know, beat three guys on his way to the inside, and then he put a pretty good ball into the box that Yao was able to head home. It was a good finish. So then at that point, it was 2-0 to the U.S., and then in the 86th minute, Alfonso Campos-Chavez, who came in as a sub, he came in as a sub in this game.
Yeah.
He got his second goal of the tournament. So Dani Leiva had a really nice sequence here where he picked off, like, it was a poor clearance by Guatemala. And then he played a 1-2 with Gilbert Fuentes into the box. He got to the end line, and then he had a nice cutback to his right foot. And then he served, like, a ball that was pretty similar to the one Reyna played across. And then AOC was able to – should I call him AOC or Ocampo-Chavez? I'm not –
I think AOC works at this point. There's only diehards listening to this podcast.
All right. So then AOC was able to beat his man to the ball, and then it was pretty. He headed it home pretty easily. And then that made it 3-0 USA, and that was the final score of the game.
Yeah. I thought, you know, we didn't score as many goals as we did against Barbados, but I thought this was a much, much, much better performance. And I guess I already gave my opinion about Reyna on the wing being sort of crucial to all this. I thought Saldana was pretty solid in that sort of holding mid role. And like you said, Kyle was pretty good. Freeman was pretty good. Neither Kyle nor Freeman was transcendent, but they were pretty good. And then Yao, I'm not totally convinced of him, but he did score a brace. Probably should have scored four goals.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best I've probably seen Yao play, actually, because I'm used to more Yao being like a hyper-pressing, like win the ball in dangerous positions, but it seemed like he had some skill on display. I remember a few flicks over defenders. He drew fouls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought he was the most dangerous I've seen him on the wing maybe ever in a U.S. shirt. So that was pretty encouraging too.
Yeah, totally agree. I still think his first touch and decision-making are a little bit uneven. Like, there were a couple times where he got a ball over the top and his touch took him right back into the defender.
Yeah.
And there was that pretty early chance that was created by Reyna and Kayo, kind of a flowing move sort of on the counterattack. Yao ends up with the ball in the right channel, and then he's got like Reyna, Pepe, and Kayo streaming into the box, and he elects to shoot from a pretty poor angle. I mean, it was a good shot and drew a good save,
yeah,
but still should have picked his head up and picked out one of his teammates.
You know, I've seen comparisons to like more technical Paul Areola.
It's a really good comparison, don't you think?
Both are, you know, they press, they never seem to run out of energy. And I mean, he looks right now, at least, like if he continues to develop, that he could have more technical ability than Areola, which it'll be pretty nice to have a player like that.
He's a little bigger than Areola too, isn't he? Isn't he a little taller?
Yeah, it's not that hard to be bigger than Areola though, is it?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good comparison for people who haven't watched him. He's like Paul Areola with perhaps a higher ceiling.
Yeah.
You know. We won't know for a little while, but I thought that really worked to have, you know, if Yao is sort of committed to getting to the end line, we know Reyna's going to get to the end line. That's like his default mode.
Yeah.
Then you're causing problems for the opposing defense. You're drawing attention wide. Presumably that creates more space for the midfielders and Pepe to operate. It didn't really pan out for Pepe, as we already discussed, but I think there was more room in this game for like Kayo and Freeman, if nothing else, than just to get on the ball and circulate it, you know, switch fields.
I mean, Saldana, this Guatemalan team, I saw Saldana he had tons of time to pick out passes, so I'm not sure how much personally I can take, because I've never seen Saldana play before, actually. But his passing looked good, but I just couldn't tell, like, how good it really is when he's got so much time on the ball.
My take on Saldana is, and I don't have to be right about this, that he's not a great passer, but he doesn't make big mistakes. So he doesn't screw anything up. but okay. he also doesn't do anything to key the attack. And I noticed a couple times in this game and in some of the USL games I watched when he played for the Galaxy 2 last season, he'll have a guy, like he'll be switching fields to somebody on the wing who, if he plays the ball in front of them, then they're like, then it's on, you know?
Yeah.
And instead, he plays it slightly behind them. It doesn't turn into a turnover, but it just like kills the momentum kills of it. The moment. Yeah. That's my feeling on Saldana. He was so much of a ball winner last night, though, and yeah. so much of a warrior in the trenches that it's almost okay. And I think like against a team like Mexico, where we're going to need that, I think there's a really strong argument that he should be in the starting lineup.
Yeah, for sure.
Any other thoughts on this game before we move into our preferred first choice lineups from this roster?
I mean, not really. I think we definitely saw improvements from the Canada game, but obviously it's not easy to make definitive statements against teams that may not have the highest quality. So
yeah, one other thing we should mention is when Leyva came on late, he came on with like 12 minutes to go or something in this game. He was really sharp. Not only did he get the assist, but he created a couple other chances in much more of an advanced role than we saw him in against Canada.
Yeah, also, I think we should talk about Ocampo Chavez. When he came in, or see on the right wing, it seemed like he could cut into his left foot anytime he wanted to against the Guatemalan defense. So if we wanted to, I mean, he's shown that he can play on the wing. If we want to play both Pepe and Ocampo Chavez at the same time, I think the options available, I don't know if it's the best option, especially because he's not a, you know, a natural winger. That's probably not his best position. But I thought that just gave us another option for something that we could do if need be.
Yeah. Yeah, he was bright as well. I still can't figure out, is he left-footed or right-footed? Do you know?
I'm not sure, but it seemed, I mean, I'm just going to guess he's left-footed the way he was cutting in. And I think I watched some DA games 2 years ago where he usually hit it with his left foot. So, I mean, that's what I'll go with, but I'm not really sure either.
Yeah, that's my sense is he's left-footed too, but I think people have disagreed with me on that. Maybe he's like Ousmane Dembele. Have you seen that video of Ousmane Dembele? Like,
yeah, where he doesn't know which foot. It's like, just says yes.
It's so hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we should do like a meme with AOC doing that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Oh, one more guy we should talk about. Fuentes, Gilbert Fuentes. What's your take on him?
Yeah, so when he came in against Canada, I thought he was a real bright spot. He looked pretty good on the ball, and he was able to create chances. I thought maybe his three balls weren't, like, he had the idea to send it through, but they didn't connect all the time. But I still like the idea he had. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just really creative on the ball. And I mean, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I think he should be in the starting lineup, you know, for a first team game when we need our first team to play. So I really enjoyed watching him because he just plays. I'm not sure how to describe it. He just plays like fluidly, smoothly. Mm-hmm. With the ball, it's just appealing to the eye, I guess.
It really is. He makes quick decisions. He doesn't linger on the ball. There is a little bit of a concern that he's like, he will make the poor giveaway that will lead to the counterattack goal that kills us. I think.
Yeah.
I worry a little bit about that with him. He hasn't quite like allayed those fears, but I agree. When he comes on the field, things start to move a little faster. Around
yeah,
him.
Sure.
I did like a sped up GIF of a sequence that he keyed off. Like he won a tackle, the ball sort of spilled to AOC. AOC sort of took a rip right off of Fuentes' chest,
yeah.
And then Fuentes just took it down with his chest, tapped it to Cuevas. Cuevas tapped it to Gray. Gray to Alejandre. Alejandre did a sort of an elegant little step around somebody. Played it to Caio to Fuentes, Fuentes to Caio, and we're off. You know, it's that kind of stuff is what makes hearts sing at Scuff Global headquarters.
And, for sure.
And we haven't seen enough of that, but it seems like we see more of it when Fuentes is on the field.
What do you think of? I know we're getting a little off topic here, but what did you watch his USL game? I'm not sure how many he's played, but I caught the one where he had the assist on. What did you make of that?
He was horrible in that game, I thought. I mean, he had the assist, but he was really bad.
I think, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, he has the terrible passes. But then I remember, other than the assist, he had one nice moment, too, where he sent the guy through. I think with him, he's got to, because I mean, especially when you're playing a tagging position, you want to take risks. So maybe you don't want to always play the safe pass, but I think he takes ups for the risky pass maybe too often, which then, you know, hurts the team in other ways. Maybe, you know, just make the safe pass. And I think we could see the best of him at least.
Yeah, I guess my take on him is he's close, you know? He's not quite there yet at the USL level, but you can see the flashes of quality. He just he just needs to get like a little more calibrated to the speed of play, a little bit more ball secure, and he could be, you know, he could be a legit professional number 10 in MLS or maybe elsewhere. I don't know, you know, he doesn't scream out like elite prospect the way somebody like Ledesma or Mendez does, but he's 2 years younger than them, and
he has a lot of time to. I mean, who did you even know who Ledesma was 2 years ago?
No, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't say that at the top, but here's a list of players we didn't know about at this point in the cycle. In I guess it would have been 2017. Ledesma, Soto, Julian Araujo, Sergiño Dest, Chris Richards, Mark McKenzie, Brendan Aaronson, Jonathan Amon, and Edwin Cerrillo. None of those guys were in the U17 qualifying picture.
Dest, that's crazy.
Dest made the World Cup roster, but that was that was only after somebody sort of tipped off John Hackworth that he was an American. So that's something to remember.
So there's gonna be a lot of names that are added to the pool for the U20 cycle. So.
And conversely, a lot of names subtracted. So,
yeah.
All right, let's go to the good stuff. If we were to face Mexico on Saturday, now obviously we face Guadalupe on Thursday. There will be some rotation. It's maybe a lot of rotation. Who knows? But let's just say if we're facing Mexico on Saturday in the championship game, no rotation necessary. It's just give me your first choice roster. Who's your starting 11?
So I'll start off with my 11, and then I'll move on to my explanation afterwards. So I'll start from the back line. I'd play Lawson goal. I think he might be obviously has the most high end potential for goalkeeping at least, but I think he might be one of the top three prospects in the whole U17 pool. And then from the back line, I'll play Scally at right back, Gray at center back, Alejandre at the left center back, and then Kobe at left back. And then I'll play a double pivot with Leyva and Saldana. And then just ahead of them in a more of a 10 role, I'd play Gilbert Fuentes. And then on the right wing, I play Griffin Yao. Striker, I'd play Ocampo Chavez. And then left wing, I'd play Reyna. So
tell me about it. Tell me why you think it works.
So I think having Reyna at the wing, as we've mentioned earlier, is pretty much it's just necessary to make this group flow. And then I think maybe I'll just stick with the left side for now. I think if we put Kobe at left back, that could easily tilt the field in our favor just with having him at left back. You know, his ability to combine with Reyna on the left wing, like we saw him combine with Cameron Dunbar at the GA Cup.
Yeah.
I think that'd be massive for the team to have that kind of presence just terrorizing Mexico's right side.
I think it changes, if you let me interject real quick.
Yeah,
I think it changes the whole complexion of the squad if you have Kobe out there. I think we would be a completely more threatening team with him able to project his quality into the attacking third. So anyway, sorry for the interruption.
Please. Oh, no problem. And then at striker, I went with Ocampo Chavez over Pepe, and this is solely because, I mean, I haven't watched much of Mexico's U17s, but I hear that they're pretty good. So assuming that we have maybe less possession or we're not as into the game, which I don't think is crazy to say after seeing the first three games, I think,
right,
especially with Pepe maybe struggling a little bit and not being up to pace so far, I think Ocampo Chavez, who's probably in the best form of his life right now, the last couple months, I think playing him a striker and letting him stretch Mexico's back line, because he's a real runner, he's pretty fast and stuff. So him stretching the back line with you know, Leyva, Yao, Reyna, Fuentes feeding him to, you know, start counterattacks against Mexico if we have less possession. I think that would suit, you know, the tactical approach at least for the Mexico game. Yao on the right wing, I think he's just the best option at right wing. I don't think DeVries, I'm not sure how to say his name.
I'm not either.
Yeah. I mean, he looked good, but I think Yao's just looked better. Fuentes, we talked about him a lot before, so I'll go over him. And then Saldana and Leyva, as we mentioned earlier with that double pivot, Saldana can be the real like ball winner, get stuck in. And then Leyva can, maybe I just haven't noticed it as much, but Leyva doesn't seem to get stuck in as much as Saldana does. I remember him doing it a few times, but it seems like it's Saldana's defining characteristic.
Yeah.
You know, getting stuck in. But then Leyva's is just kind of, it's just a skill he has. So I think they could complement each other pretty well in the pivot. And Scally on the right, I was tempted to put Cuevas here, but I just haven't seen enough of Cuevas. Like, I just haven't seen him play enough to say that. So, I mean, through the knockout stages, that might change when we see more of, I assume we'll see both of them eventually. So that's a position that I was kind of wishy-washy on.
Yeah.
And then Gray looked good when, you know, in his appearances at center back. So I put him there so we could push Kobe out to the left. Alejandre, he's been pretty much a mainstay. Yeah, and then goalkeeping, obviously loss.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to agree with almost all of it. I guess I would say with Yao, I would add to what you said about him being the best option over there. With the fact that he's the one who's most likely to stay wide and go to the end line. I mean, DeVries is not going to go to the end line with his right foot. At least
he loves to cut inside.
Yeah, and the same is true of ALC. If the thought arises of putting him on right wing, I'd probably start Pepe just because I have faith in him. I rate him higher than ALC. I know that there's, you know, a fair amount of debate about that right now. That's just my opinion. I think Pepe will sort it out, and by the time we get to that Mexico game, we're gonna want him there. But I recognize all the arguments you're making for AOC. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's close for me because AOC is obviously playing better at the moment. Reyna on the left wing, I've already tooted my own horn about that. My midfield would be slightly different than yours. I think I would go with one of two options. Either Leyva, Caio, and Fuentes. Or I would drop Fuentes and do Saldana sitting behind Leyva and Caio.
Okay.
But I hadn't thought of a Saldana-Leyva double pivot, and I don't think that's a bad option either. I've sort of dogged on Saldana in the past, but the way he like just did the Lord's work
in
the midfield there last night really won me over. I love that.
Yeah, it was nice.
And then I think I'm going to go with Cuevas over Scally, although I'm about as wishy-washy about it as you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure Cuevas can handle like a good Mexican U17 winger. I think Scally can mostly handle it, but I feel confident that Scally will make one or two big mistakes that could cost us a goal. I'm pretty sure Cuevas won't do that. Can Cuevas hold up under the assault the way Scally probably can? I'm not sure about that. So that's where my wishy-washiness comes from. And then, like I said earlier, I think Kobe at left back changes the game for us. I think it just unbalances it, like you said, tilts the field in our favor. It's going to unbalance the opposing defense. Assuming he and Reyna can work together, and I'm still yet to see Reyna really like work well together with any of his teammates.
Yeah.
Then that could be absolutely terrifying for the opponent. That's a question though. It doesn't mean we shouldn't play Kobe at left back. It's just something I'm thinking about. And then Alejandre and Gray. I thought there's nothing really to criticize with them. I mean, there were a couple shaky moments from Gray, one or two from Alejandre, but you're gonna have those in a game. And I think what we gain from having Kobe at left back is far outweighs the step down from Kobe to Alejandre at center back.
So, I mean, I'm just asking because I know you've seen Judge play, I think, U19 Bundesliga games. Do you think he would displace either of those two at center back if he was released to play in this qualifying tournament?
It's a really good question. I've wrestled with that. So the one game I saw of his at Eintracht, he was playing right back.
Okay.
He's one of only two 2002s on that U19 roster, and he's been playing like every game. I understand he's played some center back with the U19s too, so I wish I had been able to see those games, but I don't think I will be able to. He worries me too. He can be a little bit of a mess himself.
Yeah.
He's got all the intangibles. Well, not all of them, but he's got some of the intangibles. He's very athletic. He's very tough. He works very hard. But he can get caught in possession, and he'll like foul somebody in a way that you might argue deserves a red card. So I look forward to seeing him the next time we see him with a little more seasoning under his belt. That's a mixed metaphor, isn't it? With a little more seasoning.
Seasoning under his belt.
Keep the seasoning away from your belt, Mason. I don't know. I think another name to – what do you think? What do you think of Judge? Do you think he displaces one of those two guys?
I think if he displaces anyone, it'd probably be Gray just because of his unfamiliarity with the position. I really haven't seen enough Judge. I remember him at the Nike friendlies. He had a few boneheaded plays, but I haven't seen enough of him to really say. So I think for now I'd keep it just these two. Mm-hmm. But that's just because I haven't seen enough Judge to really make a decision on that.
I guess we don't want to mess around too much against Guadalupe, and like, because what if we go down a goal early? Then we're all of a sudden not going to the U17 World Cup, and we're all really pissed.
Yeah.
But I feel like Wiki can be confident in Alejandre and Gray after that performance last night.
Yeah. I'd agree with that for sure. Well, while we're on this subject, do you want to quickly run over, because we have to qualify for the World Cup, we have to make the semifinals at least. So we would play Guadalupe, and then I think it's either Panama or
Guatemala.
Panama or Guatemala again. We have to be Guadalupe and then one of those two teams to make it. And I was actually looking at Mexico's side of the bracket. They would have to first beat Puerto Rico in the round of 16, and then they would play the winner of El Salvador and Jamaica. So, and then for us, the United States, to reach the finals, I'm going to assume we'd have to play the winner of Canada or Costa Rica. So, I mean, it's a team we beat. I haven't watched Costa Rica, so I'm not sure how they've been. And then Mexico would most likely have to play Haiti, who's won all three of their games so far in the group stage. Mm-hmm. So they seem like a tough team at least. I'm not sure who was in their group or whatever, but I mean, I'm expecting a Mexico-U.S. final. I think anything else would be pretty crazy and unexpected. But yeah, just both of our paths that are necessary to actually reach the final. And as I said before, you need to make the semifinal to qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah. I'm mostly just interested in us making the World Cup. I think, you know, we mentioned Mason Judge as a possible addition to this roster between now and the actual World Cup. I think there are other possibilities. You brought up Jonathan Gomez at left back. That's a pretty that's a pretty crowded position, so maybe not for him. But Nico Carrera, a left center back for FC Dallas, is supposedly close to getting citizenship, and I think he's like right up there, one of the top center backs in the age group.
Okay.
In the U.S. He would be, I think, a welcome addition. I mean, really the priorities for me in that starting 11, that first choice starting 11, are getting Reyna on the wing and getting Kobe at left back. And anything that helps that happen, I think, is going to be good. There's some wingers that I think may be able to make a push before the World Cup. Cameron Dunbar at the LA Galaxy Academy. He was really good at GA Cup, kind of a pacey winger, maybe similar to WoW, but I mean similar to Yao, but not, but more of a combiner, as we saw with him and Kobe. And then Cade Cowell from the San Jose Earthquakes Academy is a big, fast striker slash winger who I think, you know, scored a goal against Monterey in a friendly.
He's on a homegrown, right? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Okay. If you don't mind me adding two names real quick before you conclude.
Yeah.
I think, as you mentioned with Carrera, his citizenship issues, I think Moses Nyman, he was born in Liberia, and he's still not a citizen of the U.S. And also Elton Chifamba, he plays for the Columbus Crew. I think those are two guys in midfield, at least, who could – I'm not sure. I don't think they would start. I think – I mean, I rate Nyman really highly, so I think I might start him as, like, the 10 if he was able to get a citizenship in time. Mm-hmm. But I think those are just two more names that could make a late push for the squad.
Yeah. Yeah, good shouts. Nyman is – if Nyman can stay healthy and come on, I mean, he's really, he's an exciting really player. Good. Yeah. But, you know, in the meantime, the more reps, the better. So So hopefully we go all the way to the final, and beating Mexico in a CONCACAF final is always something to celebrate. So hopefully we get to that. That's May 16th, I think, the final. Next game is Thursday against Guadalupe. If we win that, we play the World Cup play-in game on Sunday against Panama or Guatemala. Any closing thoughts?
I just thought that it was awesome how, like, the kids seemed to, like, they loved Rafael Wicky. It seemed like they were always celebrating with him. He was celebrating with them. And especially when we were able to rally back against Canada, I thought that showed a lot about the presence that he has in the locker room to get the kids to keep fighting, even if we were down 2-0. I mean, other than that, I thought we saw pretty marked improvement as the games went on, and I'm excited to see what this team can do in the knockout stages.
Yeah, I agree. It looks like a team that hasn't played together a lot, that has a new coach, that is just sort of sorting it out as they go.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, man. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you.